Welcome to Inside Personal Growth Podcast. Deep dive with us as we unlock the secrets to personal development, empowering you to thrive. Here, growth isn't just a goal, it's a journey. Tune in, transform, and take your life to the next level by listening to just one of our podcasts. Welcome back to Inside Personal Growth. This is Greg Voisin, the host of Inside Personal Growth. And joining me on the other screen over there where it says Secret Knock is Dr. Greg Reed. All of you, many of you know him from the days of The Secret. That's a Secret Knock behind him. You're living in La Jolla now, right? Still?
I'm actually in the main streets of Carlsbad, California. Carlsbad. For about 7 years. I got to tell you, it's absolutely amazing.
Well, I live in Encinitas, so he's a hop, skip, and a jump for me, for everybody that's out there. But Greg, let me tell the listeners about you. We're going to be talking about your book called The Secret of Happiness. It is, like he said, a 100-page book, so it's pretty easy for people to read. But for over 25 years, Greg has inspired millions of people to take personal responsibility, to step into their potential and their greatness. And as such, his life of contribution has been recognized by government leaders, foreign princes, as well as luminaries in education, business, and industry. He's been publishing over 150 books, including 38 bestsellers in 45 languages, titles such as Stickability, The Power of Persuasion, The Millionaire Mentor, 3 Feet from Gold, Turn Your Obstacles into Opportunities, and all of these books, and one of them in particular, is one that Don Green from Napoleon Hill Foundation, and Don's a really good friend of mine and a good friend of Greg. So for all of you who are out there, go check out gregreid.com, GREGREID.com. There you'll learn more about his books, his podcast, his Secret Knock, and his wealth of knowledge, which he's got. So look, happiness eludes a lot of people. It doesn't matter if it's sex, drugs, rock and roll. They're always trying to find something outside of themselves to literally make themselves happy. And I've always told people, if you're expecting someone else or something to make you happy, you're in trouble, you know, because it's an inside job. When you embarked on this 2-year journey to unravel one of life's most, what we call elusive questions, what inspired you to delve into the topic? And what are some of the surprising insights you gained along the way? And I'll preface that with, you know, I know the Dalai Lama is probably one of the happiest guys I ever see because he's always laughing. And I was at Healthy Minds Institute with Richie Davidson just last year, knowing that meditation was one of the ways that helped people gain huge levels of contentment and happiness. Comments?
Well, first of all, great to see you. Long time. It's so funny. Yeah. We're on the street, we could skateboard to one another. But every 5 years, we do a podcast, whether we need it or not.
So that's exactly
what this situation. So, the Secret of Happiness was a great journey. And you're right. The Dalai Lama is a huge advocate of happiness. In fact, just recently, a buddy of mine came back from meeting him where they gave him an autographed copy of one of my best-selling books. And he autographed a bookmark for me from the Dalai Lama. That's one of my prized possessions. And, you know, it's interesting. You talk about the inside job. When we started the journey, we thought we had the answer right from the get-go of what the secret of happiness was, and I ended up being completely wrong. You ever done one of those things where you thought you had the answer and I was going to reverse engineer? I was wrong. And here's what I thought it was. My hypothesis, by the way, I thought it was genius, was that happiness is a subtractive equation and not an addition equation. What does that mean? Well, every time we add an additional equation, a car, a house, a boat, a relationship, that rarely brings us lasting happiness. But when we subtract shame, guilt, remorse, toxicity, then that brings joy to our life. So I figured that was the answer. So I went through this whole journey with that mind, and I was looking for solutions and answers and people to reaffirm my conclusion. And quickly, my attitude completely changed. It was really interesting. I had dinner with this lovely lady here in San Diego, and I was telling her this, and I was all cocky. I was going, here's the answer, a secret of happiness. And she, I could tell, had a sad face. And I go, what's wrong? And she goes, I don't think you really get it. I go, well, teach me. I go, what do you mean? She goes, no. She goes, maybe for you, because you live in a first world country, you have so much wealth and abundance, you can give things away and still have happiness. I said, okay, give me a different perspective. She goes, well, in my little town in Mexico where I grew up, every single person has been raising money and applying for visas for generations. And I was the first person from my community to make it through. She goes, when I got the paperwork, you would have thought I won a gold medal. She goes, but when I got here and I became a citizen and I bought my first car using my credit on my FICO credit score using my Social Security, she goes, you would have thought I won the Oscars or something like that. She goes, it wasn't that, it was my achievement. But it gave hope to thousands of people back home that they could do it too. So as you see, things of taking away, but by us adding this thing, completely changed the perspective an entire town.
Well, your perspective shifting by going out and interviewing people and spending this 2-year journey, actually exploring it is really a mind bender, because I think people think, like Marcy, she wrote a book on happiness. There's tons of books on happiness. There's a course at the university, I think it's either Princeton or Harvard, where the kids are waiting in line to want to, get happy, right? Because we do live in a society where the influences of things from the outside world have a tendency to grind away at our mental mindset. And if there's anybody to bring lift people up, it's you around mental mindset. So, with that, your book emphasizes the influence of the company we keep in our lives,
Yes.
attitudes and incomes. Can you elaborate on how surrounding ourselves with certain individuals can impact our happiness and overall well-being? Because, look, there's a loneliness epidemic according to statistics in this world. If you want to buy into that, that's fine. But the reality is there are a lot of people that are lonely out there. So let's look at the opposite of happiness. It's loneliness and depression, right? So what would you say about attitudes and the people we surround ourselves with?
Well, behind me, the first thing you'll see is this. We talk about Napoleon Hill is PMA, positive mental attitude. And I believe in not just having that, but actually living a lifestyle of happiness. And what does that mean? I remember I was playing tennis with my instructor, and this guy is so much better than me. He's whooping me around the court like crazy. And I kept talking smack. Here comes my A game. I'm going to beat you. And he beat me real bad. And I go, here comes my serve. You better watch out. And he'd still destroy me. And finally, he pulled me into the middle, into the little net. And he says, look, bud, he goes, having a positive attitude is great and all, but that's not going to win you games. And I remember saying a quote to him I learned from Abraham Lincoln. It says, well, a positive attitude will not get the desired results every time, but a negative one will. And so I just changed my attitude to something called always good. And what that means is that I really live an always good life. So I remember going through the checkout cash register, and the cashier kept asking people, how you doing? How you doing? She didn't care. It's just her job. And people were saying fair, fine, fair to middling. And then a guy right before me said a double negative, not bad. And so I go, man, I got to come up with a double positive, right? She gets to me. She goes, how you doing? I go, always good. And she stopped and looked up and she goes, how can someone always be good? And I said, people are as happy as they make up their minds to be. So for myself, here's my situation and my solution. I surround myself with people I have respect for and not just people I have influence over. And by doing that, I'm constantly calling up to people that can uplift and encourage sometimes when I'm feeling down. And unfortunately, most people seek guidance and counsel from people that are also going through challenge and tribulations. So then it's just pooled misery.
Well, you look at the affirmation of what you tell yourself, and then you start to become it. I had a manager. I was in a business, financial services and life insurance. And for many years, I was MDRT, top of the table, that kind of stuff. And this guy's name was Grant Benning. His daughter's Annette Benning, and he just died. I literally went to the service in November, around Thanksgiving, 96 years old. And he was my manager, and he used to say to me, Greg, and I would say, how are you doing, Grant? And he goes, I'm good and getting better. There, that, and at his memorial service, Everybody remembered him for good and getting better. It was just like, I'm good and getting better. You could always hear that. And it's like it became part of me because he was like a second dad to me. My dad died early. And I just say that, hey, look, what you tell people you are is what you become. So, live that. And, throughout this journey, you interviewed a diverse group of individuals, from actors and musicians to monks. I'd love to hear about some of the monks and the intellectuals because I got some stories about monks I've interviewed. What motivated you to assemble such a variety cast of characters? What common threads did you discover among the perspectives on the road to happiness?
Well, you can't just ask the same type mindset, the same question over and over, because you'll get the same result. So by being a good philosopher slash, journalist, I wanted to ask people from various points of view what their input and their suggestions are. And by doing that, it really completely transformed the way I look at things. I mean, some of the people I interviewed didn't even make the book because some of the answers were not appropriate. So, for example, Coolio, he just passed away, as you know. And I asked him, like, hey, what's the secret of happiness? And he said, like, bitches, booze, and cars, or something. I went, hey, well, I'm not putting that in my book. I love you, buddy, but I ain't gonna go there. And so it's really interesting, but I still wanted to get the perspective from all these different walks of life. And you mentioned the monk one, and that one was interesting. This one person we interviewed was a monk at a prison, of all things. And so he's dealing with the people in the most sad state. And he also found some of the people had the happiest dispositions because they're reinventing themselves or discovering themselves because they're away from, the situations and circumstances that they were originally created under. And it was really interesting. He taught me something that, again, blew my mind. So this is really interesting, and it's controversial because it goes against what you said to open the show, that happiness is an inside job. This is 100% opposite. Just like the Hispanic gal told me something 100% opposite, this is opposite. And that's what this book is all about, by the way. It's showing you the yin and the yang. We're not giving you the answer. We're just saying this, 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 and then you can make up your own decision. But the
Right.
monk said this. He says that there's something called happiness dependence. And this really gave me a lot of food for thought. Happiness dependence. And what does that mean? Well, it works like this. You can say happiness is an inside job. If it's going to be, it's up to me. And that's all great for a bumper sticker and stuff. But let's look at reality of life. You're at work. You just got a raise, $200,000 a year. Corner office. They give you keys to a brand new Mercedes, gold Rolex watch, and now you're the big fish. You're driving home. You're all fired up to tell the wife and kids. You're so proud of yourself. All these years of trials and tribulations have finally accumulated to this success. You open the door and your wife's on the floor and she's crying. The kids are running around. The dog just ate the furniture. It doesn't make a difference what you're going through. Boom, instantly, your mindset changes. And there's this happiness dependence around us because our happiness is dependent upon the other people that we surround ourselves with. How many times have someone came up to you, Greg, just being honest, and they said, I'm on this personal journey right now of discovery and all this amazing stuff, but my spouse doesn't get it. They're not on the same thing. How many times have we heard this story? And that happiness dependence can pull people back. And if that is true, then it's really important to make sure that you have a great gene pool of people, a mastermind of sorts that you can call up to when sometimes things are a disarray around us.
I think it's to have the variety that you have in the book is really good. For people to make their own choice and decision is good. That's what it is. I mean, the Buddha always said, look, I give you the information, use it the way you want, decide how you're going to put this into your life, right? And it leads me to a monk. I want to tell a quick little story to my listeners. I think some of them may have heard it before. But, I go to meditations retreats with Joel and Michelle on the Orcas Islands. I do that almost every year. And one year, there's a monk there. And they ask him what he wants because he comes from Tibet and he doesn't have a lot of resources. And he goes, I want to watch. And they go, what do you want to watch for? What do you want to, have check the time? And he goes, well, I'm going to put the watch at the end of my bed along with the skeleton, because there was a skeleton, a head, a skeleton head. And they said, well, what's that all about? And he said, well, the watch reminds me when it's on my wrist that every day I go, every minute I go through, I'm 1 minute closer to death. And this is what brings me happiness, is to live my life, enjoy every minute, and be completely present. Now, you might say that's kind of a severe way to look at life, but really, when you think about it, that's all we ever have, is the little moments that we, all these moments we have, gives you the perspective, right? It's a change in perspective, almost an immediate one, to say the clock is going down, and every time I'm going down, I'm getting closer and closer to death.
All
What? Go
right.
ahead.
So, well, it's speaking of that, in this last book that I'm doing, we can talk about in a second, is I just did a quote on this. And the concept is the secret for a lot of people to find happiness is to understand when they're in the state of happiness at that moment. Most people don't realize it. It's looking back, going, oh, those were the golden days. Oh, those were the things. But in the moment, it was just Tuesday. And the happiest people are the people that understand and stand in that moment of joy when it's actually happening at that existence. And a lot of people, like I said, unfortunately just don't do it. And you know, it's funny because at the end of the book, we'll cut to the end. Here's the secret of happiness. Everyone ready? If you ask 1,000 people, obviously you get 1,000 different answers of what the secret of happiness means to them. So therefore, the secret of happiness is the definition in which you give it. That's it. That's the secret of happiness. So everyone has got a different circle. And again, unfortunately and fortunately, most people do not define what brings them joy. So they never know if they're in a state of happiness. What does that mean? If I sat there and said, hey, if we get through this interview and I sound really good and you know, we get some great new eyeballs out there, inspire some eyes, that'll make me happy. Well, now I know if I'm on track. So if I make a mistake here, I go, oh, that didn't go so good. But if I get through and it's done, I go, hey, that's awesome. And I live in that moment of joy. But what happens is we go from, you know, success to success or setback to setback, not realizing in that moment of what it is. And there's one famous quote says, happiness and joy comes from going from setback to setback without the loss of enthusiasm, right? That's what it comes down to.
I just interviewed Dr. Steve Berman from Del Mar, and his book is The End of Worry. Now, the opposite of that is he says that worry is misguided imagination, right? And I got looking at that, and that's true, because we actually create all these stories ourselves, and we use our imagination inappropriately, right? And I just love the fact that, you know, in Steve's book, called The End of Worry, the 4-step protocol, that he talks about that. And really, and that came from another book that he actually read. I think it's actually a quote from a Buddhist quote somewhere, misguided imagination, or however imagination is being misused. But if you would, and kind of wrapping this up, because I know you said, hey, that is the end. You went all the way to the end already. So I want you to give a few practical tips or strategies for listeners who are on the quest to find more fulfillment, happiness, and meaning in their life. And how can they apply the insights from the book that you wrote into their daily life? And then I'll ask you one question after that, but I'll ask you this one first.
I want to stay on to what you just got done saying about this gentleman. You know, it's so interesting. We all say the same stuff in a different way. Like what you just said, that guy said is so cliche in today's world. And on the same note, it's brilliant at the same time because it's age-old wisdom that's been passed on from generation to generation. And Sharon Lecter, my co-author, says, you know, worrying is praying for what you do not want. And it's just so much power in this, right? But again, we give a lot of focus towards that. I've noticed that usually in life, we have 10 things going on in our lives. And I'll say 8 of them are great. One of them is iffy and one of them is just horrible. But unfortunately, we focus on that one horrible and we don't enjoy these 8. Like, hey, good job paying the rent this month. Hey, good job. Right? And we just don't give ourselves that credit. And so it's the people I've realized that actually focus and give themselves applause and appreciation for the job well done for themselves. They're the ones that live in a state of joy and contentment because they know that they're doing the best they can. So it's like one of those type of the things. If you want to make God laugh, show him your plans. Nothing goes as planned. So what we want to do is make sure that we appreciate and give ourselves gratitude for the hard work and the things that we have done, and stop just celebrating our negatives and talking about those into existence and feeding it more and feed the positive. In fact, right here on my desk, it has a little quote that says, "Let it go, let it flow."
Yeah, I got a clock that has no hands on it. And I have a little sign here too. Pardon me, I'm going to pull it up. But it's got that one is an ohm signal in it, ohm symbol in the now. The clock says now. I should show it to you.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, be here. Be here now.
Yeah.
And Daniel Laporte wrote a book years ago, and it's impacted my life in a great way. And she taught the power of non-attachment. And what does that mean? It says, well, detachment means you don't give a crap. That's not a good way to live life. It's cynical. Non-attachment means you go all in. You give everything you got to a certain project or mission, but then you're not attached to the outcome. So, for example, look, I've been publishing 150 books. Some are great, some are stinkers. I'm not attached to how it goes. I just do
Right.
the best I can at that moment, and then I birth it to the world, and then the world tells me whether it's accepted or not. And by having that type of attitude, I can go to the next project without holding on and trying to fix every single thing. I want to share one quick story here, because I'm going to answer your question in a story. What if God in the universe granted every wish and every prayer, but we didn't like the packaging, so he sent it on its way? Dear God, I need $100. Lord, please give me $100. Your next door neighbor comes by and says, hey, buddy, I got all these aluminum cans on the side of my house. Do me a favor, go cash these in. You can keep all the money for getting them out of the side. I
Right.
don't want those stinky things in my car. Well, you asked, you prayed, it was delivered, but we didn't have gratitude and appreciation, so we didn't accept it. What does that tell our God in the universe the next time we ask and pray for something? That's where this saying comes from. Be careful of what you ask for, because you might just get it, but also understand it might not be the packaging in what you expect.
That's a great way to put this. So, Greg. What you have all these books. How many say 130? Is that right?
150, and I've just finished this week my last book. So it'll be the last book I ever write with just my name on it. I might do some co-author books or multi-author books, but this is my last book. And then I'm going to go into the publishing side and help other people get the words out, like you're doing.
Okay, so you're on this journey. The last book is titled what? Have you given it a title yet?
Oh, God. Oh, it's going to publishing next week. I'm just going to
Uh,
save it. I'll save it. We'll do a whole nother thing around this thing.
okay. All right. All right. Well, I thought maybe, I'm sure you know Bill Gladstone, and he died in December. You had to have known Bill because he is a consummate, just friend of mine and somebody very special.
He
I'd so.
published The Secret of Happiness, my friend.
Oh, was that a Gladstone book? Oh, Waterside. Okay. Well, I didn't know that because I got the Kindle version, and the reality was I didn't look at all those front pages, just went into the book. But Greg, you're somebody who's directing your energy in a positive way, in a positive direction, and I always love having people like you on the show. Accolades to you for all the previous books that you've written, including the things that you did for Napoleon Hill with Don Green. I always have admired the work you're doing, and I just so want to thank you for taking the time to be with our listeners to talk about happiness. And obviously, hey, look, give them a wide variety in this little 100-page book of what happiness is, and choose which direction you want to take, right? So, thank you for your time. Appreciate it. Namaste to you, man. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk again soon when you get this next book out.
Yeah, if nothing else, I'll see you in 5 years for our semi 10-year podcast of appreciation, right?
Oh no, actually, I'm going to come to Carlsbad and take you to lunch within the next couple of weeks.
Please do so. I'll see you then, amigo. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast on Inside Personal Growth. We appreciate your support. And for more information about new podcasts, please go to insidepersonalgrowth.com or any of your favorite channels to listen to our podcast. Thanks again, and have a wonderful day.